Hi, this is Keith, your host, and it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Boy, what a character!
And we're the Retrobots, David, Tom,
and Jill.
The Retro Radio Podcast. The Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
Well, I do know.
Always family-friendly, always good, clean fun.
It's the place where new tech
meets old tech and likes it.
Doggone it, Molly, my age ain't got anything to do with it, I tell you.
Visit us today at retro-otr.com. Leave us a comment, send us email, join our forum or newsletter. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for downloading our show, and thanks for your support. Hey everybody, this is your host Keith coming at you once again. I'm a little bit intermittent lately on getting these live retro radio podcasts out to you. Well, I found this episode in an archive of stuff I had squirreled away in my computer, and I almost deleted it. When it opens, it's actually a snippet of a baseball commentator back in the day who was very, very popular.
Bill Stern.
That's right. And he always had, he didn't always have, but he often had celebrity guests on, and he always talked about, of course, sports and the unique things that happen in the world of sports. And today, our guests are Abbott and Costello. And right after the show ends, I will go ahead and play an episode of Abbott and Costello. The date, I have to say, I'm really unclear on. I've seen three different dates, and I know one date is wrong. One date has it being originally aired in 42, and it probably was, but it's not this production of the show. And you know that because it features Skinny Ennis and Marilyn Maxwell, who are in 42. The musical talent would have been Connie Haynes and
Freddie Rich.
Oh, man, I almost had it. So we have this one, and again, there's two dates I've seen on this. One is in April.
17, 1947.
All right, you're just a little helper today. And the second date is just 2 months later in June.
June 19th, 1947.
My. All right. And so... That's one of those two dates. I don't know which one, but it's one of them. So the show just goes together because you have Abbott and Costello talking about sports commentating and how they actually discovered each other. I don't know if that's true. I'll have to research that and figure it out. But anyhow, then it goes on to their famous baseball episode. And I think I've played this before on the Retro Original podcast and posted it on Podomatic with bonus tracks and such. And here it is again with bonus tracks and such. And then it, of course, has the world famous, known around throughout the universe, Who's On First? So this is a keeper. You want to listen to it, and if you don't already have it, I can't imagine why not. But add it to your collection and enjoy.
With a Colgate Shave Cream Sports News Reel.
Concern the Colgate Shave Cream Man is on the air. Concern the Colgate Shave Cream Man with Tory Blair. If it's nice and you're looking, you'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate Christmas fan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Trenton from Hollywood, California, bringing you the 326th edition of Colgate Shave Cream Sports News Reel. Our guests here in Hollywood tonight are two of Hollywood's most famous stars, Abbott and Costello. But first, number one. Straight. Love this fight. Since we're broadcasting tonight from Hollywood, it's appropriate that we tell this story. For all of this story to be told from Hollywood. Wait a minute. Let's begin the story. In 1895, Bob Fitzsimmons was scheduled to fight Peter Mayer for the heavyweight championship of the world. The fight was to be held in Langdon, Texas. But since prize fighting was illegal in those days, the United States government dispatched an army of soldiers into Texas to stop the fight. However, the promoter was determined to stage this fight, and so he moved it across the border into nearby Mexico. But the Mexican government didn't want that fight any more than our government did, and they too dispatched an army of soldiers to see that the fight was stopped. Nevertheless, on February the 21st, 1896, on a small island in the middle of the Rio Grande River that separates the United States from Mexico, those two fighters finally did meet, and Tom Fitzsimmons knocked out Peter Mayer in the first round. They staged their fight, even though the American army was drawn up on the American side of the Rio Grande River, and the Mexican army was drawn up on the Mexican side of the river. But neither army could stop that fight, since neither army knew for sure whether that island in the middle of the river on which that fight had been staged belonged to the United States or to Mexico. And that's the story of how Bob Fitzsimmons once fought for the heavyweight championship of the world, despite the fact that two armies tried to stop him. But that's not the end of the story. At that fight was a young photographer named Edward Muybridge. He'd come to take pictures of the fight. But at that fight, Edward Muybridge could not get good pictures. For every time he tried to take a picture, one of the fighters would move a bit. And since in those days cameras could not photograph anything but stationary objects, all his pictures were blurred. That gave Edward Muybridge an idea. Why couldn't he develop a camera that could take motion pictures? This is a people in action, motion pictures. The more Edward Muybridge thought about that idea, the better he liked it. And he got Bob Fitzsimmons, a heavyweight champion, to advance him enough money to give it a try. Since Bob Fitzsimmons was coming to California, Edward Muybridge came along too. And in California, Edward Muybridge developed his first motion picture camera. And it worked. For he went to a racetrack, and the action took pictures of a racehorse in action. And these pictures of a racehorse in action proved that he'd created a new invention, the invention of motion pictures. And that's the story. A story that started when a young photographer named Edward Muybridge watched Bob Fitzsimmons fight for the championship of the world, and then took Bob Fitzsimmons and went to California so that he, Edward Muybridge, might invent motion pictures. But that's not quite the end of the story. Because motion pictures were invented in California, there was a curious result. For not only was a California racehorse responsible for proving that there were such things as motion pictures, but the name of that racehorse was Hollywood. And Hollywood, the home of motion pictures, is named after that horse. Portrait of a racehorse named Hollywood that gave a city both its name and its industry. Reel 2. Gary Flattinger, for 2 years straight, he's got the most valuable player award. Game is professional football. His name is John Hudson. Let me add his shave cream is Colgate Brushless. Here's what John Hudson wrote to you about Colgate Brushless, the shave cream champion.
Dear Bill, if you want to know what I think of Colgate Brushless shave cream, brother, I think it's the answer to a shaver's prayer. Especially, no more smarting and stinging brushless shave every morning.
Be greasy or chewy, it rinses off your face and your razor in a flash. I recommend a big 9-ounce jar because it saves money, lasts longer, and fits cheaply on the bathroom shelf. But 2-quart jar, the back Colgate Brushless this way. If it doesn't completely satisfy in every way, just mail the top of the carton to me, Bill Stern, Carol Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey, and you'll get double your money back. Get that jumbo jar tonight. Reel 3. Colgate Camera comes up in Hollywood. From Hollywood tonight, and here in Hollywood, two of the brightest stars are Abbott and Costello. You've all laughed at their radio show on Thursday nights. You've all seen Abbott and Costello in their pictures. Now meet them in person, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
I'm a bad boy.
Now, I'll say you are, but behave yourself while Bill is talking, Lou. Look, anyway, Lou, you guest of Bill tonight. What is this series for a change?
That I will.
Thanks, Bud, and thank you too, Lou, for agreeing to be serious. How about you two boys telling me that sports story that you told a little bit earlier? You start, Lou, with it.
Okay, Bill. It's the story of two basketball players. One of them was named Francis Costello. He played for the basketball team from Patterson, New Jersey.
Yes, and the other was named William Alexander. He played for a team from Camden, New Jersey.
Yes, I remember those teams, and I remember, too, that Francis Costello and William Alexander were both great basketball players playing for great teams. Go on with your story, boys.
Well, in 1922, both of these teams were undefeated. And finally, they got to the last game of the year.
And it was Tom Game, Bill. It wasn't just a battle between two teams. It turned into a personal battle between Francis Costello of Patterson and William Alexander of Camden.
Everybody thought the game was going to end in a fistfight.
And they were right, because just before the game ended, Francis Costello and William Alexander did start to trade punches.
But they were finally pulled apart.
Well, Well, go on with your story. What happened to Francis Costello and William Alexander after they fought during that basketball game?
Oh, they became friends, Bill. In fact, they decided to become partners.
And as partners, we became a couple of comedians. You see, Bill, today, people know them as Abbott and Costello.
Wait a minute. Those two basketball players were really you two fellas?
That's right, Bill.
And Bill, if you hadn't played basketball, you might never have met. You see, sports means a lot to us.
Well, thank you, Abbott and Costello. But don't go away, boys. I want you back later in this program.
Okay, Bill. We'll be here.
Thanks, boys. 304. Profile of sportsmanship. Did you ever stop to think what the word sportsmanship means? It sometimes had very strange results. For instance, once back in 1822, a football player named Charlie Buell was the star of a Harvard football team. He was great. And because of Charlie Buell, Harvard was a favorite to beat Yale in their annual football game. But just before that game, Yale players found out that Harvard star Charlie Buell had a fractured shoulder. And if they hit him on that shoulder, he'd soon be out of the game and they could win. For without him, Harvard had little chance. That's why, just before the game, the Yale coach called his team together in the locker room, as he said.
Listen, boys. I understand you just found out that Harvard star Charlie Buell is going to play today with a weak shoulder. Now, listen to me. I know if we got Buell out of the game, we could win. But we're not going to get him out of the game. The first boy that hits Charlie Buell's shoulder today is through. They don't win that way at Yale.
That afternoon, the Yale players never touched Charlie Buell's shoulder. They refused to hit an injured man. And because of this sportsmanship on Yale's part, Charlie Buell of Harvard scored a winning touchdown to beat Yale. But there have been other examples of sportsmanship, too. For once at Wimbledon, where they play for the tennis championship of England, the great Helen Jacobs was playing America's tennis champion, Helen Wills. And Jacobs awarded Helen Jacobs a match on a close decision on the last point of the last game. But Helen Jacobs refused to accept the championship that way. She demanded that the last point be replayed. It was. She lost it. She went on to lose the game, the set, and the championship of England. And so, Helen Jacobs lost a tennis title that she'd already won, because he was a good sport. And how about the famous Bobby Jones in golf? In 1925, during the United States Open Golf Championship, Bobby Jones saw that he had moved his golf ball ever so slightly in getting ready to hit. He moved his golf ball so slightly that no one had ever seen him do it. However, Bobby Jones asked the officials to penalize him one stroke for moving the ball, slight as it was. They argued with him. They said, "Maybe you've seen it, but he demanded the penalty." And just one stroke, he penalized himself, was the stroke that cost him the golf championship of the United States, for he lost by a single stroke. But one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard of sportsmanship happened many years ago in an automobile race. That day, driving his racing car at a terrific rate of speed was the famous Eddie Rickenbacker. As the car reached the final lap, Eddie Rickenbacker's car was out in first place. He was doing better than 100 miles an hour. And then it happened. A train racer ran out on that track. The crowd watched in horror, but bending down on the helpless child when Eddie Rickenbacker beating the racing car. At that very instant, Eddie Rickenbacker saw that child in front of his car. He realized he either had to run over that child or swerve into the brick wall at the side of the track. Instantly, Eddie made his choice. He swerved his car, and he crashed into the brick wall. Eddie Rickenbacker's car was demolished, but somehow he lived through that smash-up. A smash-up caused by Eddie Rickenbacker saving a tiny child's life. I'd be interested in knowing who the story for that child was, whose life Eddie Rickenbacker saved. That child has since grown up to be the great movie star, Ed McMurray. Strange, isn't it, that Eddie Rickenbacker should risk his own life to save the life of Fred McMurray? But it's much stranger when you realize that Fred McMurray, according to the story, the very boy whose life Eddie Rickenbacker once saved, is today playing the part of Eddie Rickenbacker in the movie of Eddie Rickenbacker's life. Portrait of Eddie Rickenbacker, whose life is being played on the screen by the boy whose life he once saved. Real fire. This is the something from Hollywood tonight. Two of Hollywood's great stars, Abbott and Costello, will be back in a moment. But first,
you have a dry, sensitive skin and a barbed wire beard, the kind that puts the jinx on your razor. Then, brother, it's high time you introduce those wiry whiskers to Colgate Brushless Shave Cream. I'm telling you, it's a pleasure to shave with this light, fluffy cream because it stays moist clear through your shave. It doesn't dry out, doesn't draw your skin. With a fresh, cooling touch, it softens your whiskers and your lazy fairly skins them off, leaving your face smooth, your skin refreshed, and your morning disposition marvelous. What's more, Colgate Brushless rinses off your razor in almost nothing flat if it's not greasy or gummy. Treat your face to a real championship shave. Get Colgate Brushless, the shaved cream of champions, in the big 9-ounce economy jar tonight. Now back to Bill Kern.
Bill Six, Colgate Candid Camera Catches, the story behind the story. And for tonight's story behind the story, since we're in Hollywood, here are Hollywood's two famous comedians once again, Abbott and Costello. Bill Costello and Bud Abbott. Can you come back here again, please? I want to congratulate both of you on the wonderful thing that you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, these two men, Abbott and Costello, have started a youth center here in Hollywood. It's a building which will be started next week to open in June to underprivileged children. It'll have a swimming pool, basketball, handball, and tennis courts, a gymnasium, a library, and most important, free medical care. It's called the Lou Costello Jr. Youth Foundation in honor of Lou's son. It'll cost over $300,000 every center, which these two boys, Abbott and Costello, are putting up themselves. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bill. That was Lou's idea.
Yes, Bud. But I couldn't have done it without your help. I just hope the children get as much fun out of using it as we're getting out of building it. Good night, Bill.
Good night. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. I'm broadcasting from Hollywood, California tonight, where our guests were Abbott and Costello. Next Friday night, we'll be at the same time, same station, with another edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports News Reel. Our guest next week will be another of Hollywood's great stars, George Rapp. So be sure and be with us next Friday night at our usual time when we present as our guest one of Hollywood's most famous stars, George Rapp. See you then. And until then, we'll be seeing you on the screen in the news of the day, News Reel, your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, until next Friday evening, at the same time, this is Bill Kern wishing you all a good, good night from Hollywood.
Bill Kern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on his way. Bill Kern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, had lots to say. He told his fellows at 4 kilos, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. P-O-L-G-A-T-T.
Abbott and Costello appeared in a sitcom tonight for Comedy Universal Pictures and will soon be seen in a new feature, Little Giant. And if you heard each Thursday evening over many of these same stations, sponsored by the Arthur Reynolds Cigarette Company, mentions of Camel Cigarettes. The program originated in Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Together and they spell Camel. Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. And draw a chair for tonight's Camel show starring Bud Abbott and Luke Costello.
What are you writing on that pad?
I'm just making out a list of people I'm going to kiss next week. These are my pick now. Lizzie Schwartz, Maggie Mugglemeyer, Hessie Tinfoil, Lana Turner.
Now, wait a minute. Lana Turner wouldn't kiss you.
Oh, no?
Oh, no.
You're Schwartz, don't
I love you. You got me always thinking of girls. Girls, girls, girls. Wait, there's no way to get one, girls. Where do you suppose Benjamin Franklin would have been? He thought of girls all of the time.
In the front row at Earl Carroll's?
No. What I've been telling you for the past 3 weeks? Chasing girls. Get yourself a job. Look at you. Look how sloppy you are with your socks.
I can't help my socks, Abbott. Just those new hickory plastic garters.
What's the matter with them?
Your socks stay up, but your legs fall down.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
I'm looking for Luke Costello. Boy, he is Luke Costello.
The famous Luke Costello. The one and only Luke Costello.
Yes.
That's me. Gee, I listen to you on the radio for the first time. You break me up when you say, how do you do?
Wait a minute. That ain't me. That's the Russian.
You're saying?
I'm
see?
He'll take it. Oh, here, boy.
Hey, Costello. This is from Joe DiMaggio. Listen to this. Dear Lou, as you know, I'm recovering from a foot operation. I would appreciate you taking my place. Appreciate you taking my place on New York Yankees until I recover. Please report to the Yankee Stadium. Please sign Joe DiMaggio. Hey, that's one of those. That's the news I've been waiting for. I'm going to be a big league ball player.
Yes, DiMaggio probably heard about my playing with the Cucamonga Wilds last year.
You a ball player? I don't think it's Costello. You know nothing about the ball.
Oh, no. I eat baseball. I eat baseball. All night when I'm asleep, I dream about baseball.
Don't you ever dream about Earl?
And miss my turn to baseball. Yes. Another thing, Abbott. What page are you on?
Never mind what page you're
on. Another thing, Abbott. Not only that, in Paterson, New Jersey, I worked out for the baseball team. I used to stay out until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Why did you stay out until 4 o'clock in the morning?
This was a girls' baseball team.
Tell him, you don't play with New York Yankees.
You really have to know something about big league baseball, Lou.
I know all about baseball.
I suppose there's a left-handed pitcher pitching. They do.
I put in a right-handed batter.
Now, suppose there's a right-handed pitcher pitching.
I put in a left-handed batter.
But now I trick you. I take out the right-handed pitcher and put in a left-handed pitcher.
And I double-cross you. I take out my left-handed batter and put in a right-handed batter.
Now, wait a minute. Where are you getting all those right-handed batters?
The same place where you're getting all those left-handed batters.
No.
Hello, Lou and Johnny.
It's Marilyn Maxwell.
Hello, Marilyn. I've got great news. I'm going to play ball with the New York Yankees. I'm taking you along as a pitcher.
Oh, Costello, Marilyn Maxwell can't pitch.
Oh, no? You should see all the guys she struck out. I'm trying to get the first base.
Ah, no.
This kid has got some nice curves.
Louis, you're so sweet. But I do hope you be careful. You know, big league baseball is a very dangerous game.
Oh, what's dangerous about baseball, Marilyn?
Well, I read in the paper this morning that in the opening game in Boston, 5 players died on base.
Marilyn, you shouldn't know much about baseball. Let me show you how to play indoor baseball. First, I put my left arm around your waist. Then I snuggle my head on your shoulder like this. Then I press my cheek against your cheek.
Oh, wait a minute, Costello. That's the way you play indoor baseball.
How do you like that? Every season, new rules.
Well, goodbye and good luck, Louis. I just know you'll become famous with those New York Yankees.
Carolyn, thank you, Costello. This is your chance to become famous. You've got a good job as a baseball player. Then you might find your proposition life.
Yes, I might. I mean, after all, if I find my... What will I find?
It's your niche. You'll find your niche.
Abbott, when I find an itch, I scratch it.
No. What in the world are you talking about?
An itch? I almost had the 7-year itch.
What happened?
I scratched real fast in the past 3.5 years.
No, I'm not talking about that kind of an itch. I mean an itch in life. An itch in life is what everyone is looking for. Anyone who is successful has found an itch.
Well, if that's the case, there's no one there, Dale. I'm going very well.
Listen to me, Costello. When I say itch, I don't mean an itch like you have when you have an itch. I mean an itch like you have when you have a notch.
Oh, you don't mean an itch like an itch when you have an itch. You mean an itch like you have when you have a notch.
Well, you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Costello, why do you mash everything up like that? You're the most mixed up man I ever saw.
Well, maybe it's because I saw my mother's itch master this morning. She had a test to mash the itch.
Mother. I know that. I'm kidding. All I'm trying to tell you is that an itch is a notch.
Hatch?
Yes, match. All right. Now you know that an itch is a notch. You know that both of them are the same. Now, I could have a notch and you could have an itch.
Yes, itch to me and notch to you.
I'm only trying to impress you the importance of being a big league ball player and having a good income. Did you ever draw a nice big fat salary?
No, I never drew a fat salary. I'm going to sketch the skis.
No, when I say draw, I don't mean draw like you draw when you draw. I mean draw like you draw when you draw a salary.
Let me smell your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I thought. You've drawn one too many already.
Listen to me, please. When I say you draw a salary, I mean you draw money.
I could be drawing money. Little yet, you find out about this. I'll probably draw 20 years in a clink. They don't teach any story in there either,
Costello. When I say you draw money, I mean you draw like you draw money to spend it. Not like the way you draw it on a diesel.
That's what I was saying. With money, if cheese will come, cheese will go.
No. Everybody draws money. I draw money. I've been drawing money for years. My brother draws money. He's been drawing money for years.
You draw, and your brother draws,
I believe.
Just as I thought. You and your brother are no good to draw, son.
Costello.
experience is the best teacher. It happened shortly after the end of the war. Two cigarettes glow in the dust on the veranda of a country house as a man and woman are chatting. A woman remarks,
Rog, you changed your cigarette brand. This is a Camel. I can tell without even looking.
Yes, I have changed my brand. You know how we smoked whatever cigarettes we could catch during the war?
Don't I?
Yes, I must have tried all the brands during that shortage. That's when I found I liked Camels best.
And weren't you right?
Yes, experience is the best teacher. During the wartime shortage, people smoked every cigarette they could get. It was this experience that taught millions the differences in cigarette quality. As smokers tried cigarette after cigarette on their T-zones, that's T for taste and T for throat, it was Camel's rich, full flavor and cool mildness that stood out from all others. The result?
Today, more people smoke Camels than ever before.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel.
While you light up the Camel, here's Indiana Smith. Linda! When I go to sleep, I never can cheat. I'll travel the charts without Linda. Lately it seems, all of my dreams, I walk with my arms about Linda. But what good does it do me? For Linda doesn't know I exist. Can't help feeling gloomy. Think of all the loving I've missed. Pass on the street, my heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, I'd stop her a while. And then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen. And when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky break, I'll make Linda mine. On the street, my heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, stop her a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky prayer, I'll make Linda mine.
Big ball player, you get yourself in shape now. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., you'll fight. From 9 to 10, keep me bend. 10 to 11, skip rope. 10 to 12, run 5 miles.
12 to 1, I'll never make it.
Hey, look! You idiot, you'll never be a ball player. Staying up late and going to nightclubs, eating rich food, running around with beautiful girls. Do you know what can happen to you?
Become manager of the budget.
Costello. I don't even know why DiMaggio kicked you. You don't even know how to swing a bat.
I know all about swinging bats. When I was a kid, my father used to hit me with a baseball bat. My buddy used to hit me with a baseball bat. My uncle Ollie Stevens used to hit me with a baseball bat. And my mother used to hit me with a tennis racket.
With a tennis racket?
Yes, she didn't like baseball.
Hiya, fellas. Well, it's Gillianus.
Hey, Costello. I heard about you taking Joe DiMaggio's place for the New York Yankees.
That's right.
You know, I used to pitch for the Hollywood Stars. And boy, I'll never forget my last game. There were 5 men on base.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait. 5 men on base. Now, that's impossible.
Did you ever see the Hollywood Stars play?
Dennis, I've seen the Hollywood Stars, but I don't remember you.
Oh, I've changed a lot since then. I had the biggest butt teeth you ever saw. I was the only man on the team that could fly to second base and strike you from either end.
Well, so long, Fatso.
So long, Skinny. Hey, you know that Skinny would make an ugly scoop.
All right. No, wait, time with him. Now, you've got to get ready for the pitching game.
Yes, I think we're going to play the Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians?
Hey,
huh?
Feller pitching?
Certainly there's a feller pitching.
Who did you think was a girl?
Oh, I know you don't use a girl. They said feller pitching.
What for?
Feller Cleveland Indians.
Look, Abbott, there's 9 guys on the Cleveland team.
Now, which feller are you talking about?
Feller that pitches.
There is only one feller with Cleveland.
You mean nine Yankees are going to play against two fellers?
That's right.
You mean there's two fellers in the outfield?
No.
There's no fellers in the infield?
No. Cleveland only has one feller.
Well, this feller must be pretty good if he don't need any other players but himself.
Look, all the players will be out there helping him.
You just said there was only one feller on the team.
That's right.
Then where did all them other fellers come from?
Are you idiot? I say there's only one feller on the team. I mean, there's only one feller that pitch.
Well, Abbott, when the manager of the team wants his pitcher, what does he call him?
Feller.
You mean he just hollers, "Hey, feller!" And this guy knows that they mean him?
That's right. His name is Feller, Feller, Bob Feller. And when I say there is only one feller on the team that pitches, that's it. And the feller that pitches is Feller. There's only the other fellers on the team, but there's only one feller.
Boy, are you... Oh, you mean the feller that pitches is feller. And there's other fellers on the team that are not fellers?
Now you grasp it.
Yes, I grasp it, but it keeps slipping out of my hand.
Let's go into the sporting goods store and get your baseball equipment. I want you to look right for the opening game. Go ahead and get that lady there where they keep the baseball uniforms.
Yes, pardon me, miss.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Albert.
Hello.
It's Mr. Costello.
Hello.
You boss little Nanya.
What are you doing in the sporting goods store, miss?
Oh, I just stopped in to get a gift for my nephew. I'm buying him a Boz ball.
Boz ball?
You know what a Boz ball is. That's what the pusher throws to the pusher. And the booter tries to hunt the home run.
My nephew is just a local troll. But his ambition is to be a Brooklyn soldier, courtier.
Well, if he's only a little guy, why don't he join the deep troopers and be a short stupid?
Well, I must be going. He's in Chinese. If you know, he has to sit on his head to you.
And if Bishop Gordon taps you, he'll push you too.
Hey, look at that.
Oh, good morning, boys. As Johnny Weissfeller said to Bunky Crab, what dive did you come out of?
Well, my friend and I are here to get some baseball equipment. I'd like to see a baseball uniform that would fit Costello.
So would I. Look, as Adam said to Eve, quit ribbing me. However, I'll do the best I can. We'll start with the tight shoes. What size do you like?
Oh, let me see.
I've only got one pair left, and they're size 5. Maybe you can squeeze into them, Costello. Go ahead and try. Okay.
What do you know? Open-toed baseball shoes.
Now the uniform. My, you're certainly a pretty little rascal, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you overweight?
I'm about 120 pounds overweight. I'm going back to my normal weight.
It's what's normal.
60 pounds overweight.
Costello, you should really go on a diet. Yeah, of course you know what a diet is.
Well, sure. That's all you want to repeat your own life.
Young man, if you really want to reduce, why don't you exercise? A couple of dumbbells.
Okay, I'm ready whenever you and Abbott are.
All right.
Now, we've got to get your baseball up. Listen, do you have any bats?
Oh, certainly. Here's a fine bat. Autographed by Slaughter of the Cardinals. This bat was made for Slaughter.
Ain't you got one that was made for baseball?
When he says Slaughter, he means Slaughter the baseball player.
Slaughter the baseball player? With that bet you could slaughter anybody.
No, no, Costello, I'm talking about Slaughter. Everybody knows Slaughter. He knows Slaughter.
Well, maybe he knows Slaughter, but I don't know.
You idiot, everybody knows Slaughter the baseball player. Slaughter is the man's last name.
What's his first name?
He knows.
Now there, clever guys. He knows his first name.
Oh, right. Listen, do you have a baseball hat that will fit Costello's head?
What size pencil sharpener does he wear?
Yeah.
Oh, a baseball cap. Oh, yes, here's a dandy. This is the kind fella wears.
What fella?
The fella with the Cleveland Indians.
There's 9 players with the Cleveland Indians.
What fella are you talking about? Oh, young man, when I say fella with the Cleveland Indians, I am only referring to one fella. The fellow that pitches with the Cleveland Indians.
You say the fella with the Cleveland Indians, you're only referring to one fella. The fella that pitches with the Cleveland Indians.
Yes. As Orville says, Wilbur, you're right. How do you like that? Gotta do it. I don't think since sporting to a story.
Oh, forget about him. Hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Mrs. Wilbush is late. He should be a big league baseball player. Now, he was a home run king, in other words. She'll give you one of his bats for good luck. Go over to her house and ask her.
Oh, okay.
I'll go running for now, huh? Still right up. John Adams said to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Something like that. I forgot that John Adams said to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Well, good morning, Mrs. Whitmore.
Oh, hello, Miss Red. My, you know you ought to move away from another dog. Oh, fancy it, Costello. Tell me, Costello, how is it? Gunther, moron.
Mrs. Whitmore, I wish you hadn't said that. I was just telling Abbott, your face reminds me of a rose.
Oh, really? An American city rose?
No, a rhinoceros rose.
Yeah. Costello's leaping to the giant, as you can imagine, Joe's place. Joe's his place. He's going to play with the Yanks.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Yes.
What are those dead Yanks for with a little jerk like this?
Whitmarsh, it was an insult. I'll have you know that beautiful women find me irresistible.
I don't find you irresistible.
And I don't find you beautiful.
Quiet, Costello. Ask her for those baseball bats her husband left her.
Okay. Mrs. Whitmarsh, I understand when your husband was alive, he had a lot of old bats.
That's a lie. He never went out with any kind of a maid.
No.
Mrs. Whitmarsh. Costello means your husband's baseball bat.
You see, he thought you might give him one of them.
Yes, that's right, Mrs. Whitmarsh. You see, I need a good bat.
Oh, you need a good bat. I'll be glad to help you out.
Can I have the bat right now?
Right now. My little
head. Presents lovely Marilyn Maxwell for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Sea of Grass. For general fans everywhere, in honor of New Orleans Jazz Week, Marilyn sings for the first time on the air the title song of the picture, New Orleans.
Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day? I know I'm not wrong, but feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. The moss-covered pines, the tall sugar pines, where mockingbirds used to sing. And I'd like to see the lazy Mississippi a-hurrying into spring. The moonlight on the bayou,
research organizations asked next question to 113,597 doctors. What cigarette do you smoke, doctor? Brand name, most of Camel. Now, you probably enjoy rich, full flavor and cool mildness in a cigarette, just as you doctors do. That's why, if you're not a Camel smoker now, try a Camel on your T-zone. That's teeth for taste and teeth for throat. Your true proving ground for any cigarette. See if Camel's rich flavor of superbly blended choice tobaccos is an extra delightful to your taste. See if Camel's cool mildness is in harmony with your throat. See if you too don't say, Camels suit my T-zone to a T.
Hello, Costello. I'm New York with you.
You know, Bucky Harris, the ex-manager, gave you the job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look at it. If you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange that you've seen the Dizzy's ball players nowadays very peculiar.
What are the names?
Names, names like Dizzy Dean and Dizzy Dean.
But they're French cousin, French.
Good face.
Good face, Dean. All right.
Well, let's see, we have on the bags again. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You going to be the coach too?
Yes.
You going to follow through?
I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I'm going to follow
through.
Who?
Who? Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's who's name.
Yes.
Well, go ahead and come.
That's it.
Who?
Yes.
Well, you got a first baseman.
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pick up the first baseman every month, who picks them up?
Every dollar of it.
All I've got is bananas. I've got a team on first base.
Who?
That's
it.
Who gets the money?
He does. Every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down to collect it.
Who's what?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The guy?
Who?
How does he sign his name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No, put us on second base.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
I'm not taking
nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you who's the guy on first base.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. What are you talking about? He's not asking
I get on third base.
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mentioned the third base for Steve, who did I say is playing first?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again.
Don't you know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base!
Sure.
Left field is named.
Well,
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Now tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not staying out of the infield. I want to know what's the best team in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left field was named.
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He's in center field. Look, you got a pitcher on a team.
Sure.
The pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me the time?
I'm telling you, man.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow? You're going to tell me who's pitching.
I'll answer. Who is pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say. Who's on first? I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a pitcher?
Certainly.
The pitcher's name.
Today.
Today. Tomorrow's pitcher.
I have got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the catcher too.
No, they don't.
I get behind the plate too for fancy catching. Tomorrow pitching on my team in a heavy inning.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter punch the ball. When he puts the ball, meet me in a position. I'm going to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
That's the first thing you said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
I'm not saying that.
I throw the ball to Naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
You asked me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, you asked me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
Hey, that's you! Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs the
yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. I don't know if throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
A what?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Just a moment for Camel cigarettes. During the war, the makers of Camel cigarettes have a total of more than 150 million free Camels to our fighting men overseas. Now free Camels are put to serve with men's hospitals instead. This week, the Camels go to Veterans Hospital, Fort Lyon, Colorado, USAAF Station Hospital, David Martin, Tucson, Arizona, U.S. Naval Hospital, Portland, Virginia, U.S. Marine Hospital, Baltimore, Maryland, and Veterans Hospital, Palo Alto, California. Camel broadcasts go out to the United States three times a week. We're rebroadcasting practically every area in the world where men are still stationed, and to our good neighbors in Central and South America. And now back to Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
What is that, Lou, you've got your hand in?
Look, I just got a telegram from Joe DiMaggio.
Well, go ahead and read it.
Okay. Dear Lou, just heard your show. I think you have to make us the world's greatest special ball player. You have spiked teeth and club head, and you've been off your base for years.
Good. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. And a special good night to Joe DiMaggio. Get the ball quick, Joe.
Costello again next Thursday night when Costello is going to build himself a new prefabricated house. You can imagine the trouble he'll get into. I don't know whether it'll be a one-story house or a two-story house. Anyway, that's another story.
Prince Albert, pipe appeal, they're one and the same thing. Chewing tobacco burns, makes smoke. Where else can you find the tobacco that has the pipe appeal of Prince Albert? The coolness, mildness, the rich, full flavor. Prince Albert is specially treated to ensure against sunlight. Prim Perkins smokes slow and cool. Pack your pipe with mellow, rich VA. Enjoy pipe appeal with Prince Albert. And while we're speaking of enjoying yourself, be sure to tune in on Grand Ole Opry on NBC Saturday night. You all know and love the songs of America, but this week you have something extra special in store for you. Ed Foley and his guests, Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff. Grand Ole Opry, Saturday night on NBC.
Be sure to tune in next week for another great Adam and Costello show, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes. And remember, experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before.
C-A-M-A-L-S.
Adam Costello's famous baseball routine, Who's Our First, now available at Phonograph Records. Michael Roy Hollywood wishing you all a blessed night for Camel.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Goodbye, Curly. Bye, pal.